Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Does great things. You know, when we trust the Lord, then we see those amazing things. If we don't trust Him, we don't need the amazing things. So many of us are grabbing this bull by the horns, which is good. You want to be proactive, you want to do, but we grab it so firmly that we control the whole bull. And we see no miracles, no great things. The only time we do see them is when God finally backs us into a corner where there's nothing we can do. But He doesn't want it to be that way, where the only time I see anything and the only time God gets to move is He's backed us into a corner. Now that's what happens here for Israel. They get backed into a corner. They panicked.
God desires for you to see the great things that He does throughout your life. Today, you'll learn from Pastor Troy to trust in the Lord. Don't try to control everything in your own strength. When you do this, you don't allow room for God's miracles and the amazing things He desires for you. Pastor Troy encourages you to not be the person who only sees God work if they're backed into a corner, but to see God work and to witness all of His amazing things by continually giving your trust to Him. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Jew and Egyptian. Anyone who doesn't, they will experience this. Now, the advantage at this time of being a Jew was you had the inside information. You heard. And so they did, by faith, put the blood over there. And it took faith to do this, because scientifically it doesn't make any sense. Right? Reasonably. Okay, firstborn are going to die tonight in every home. Smear a little blood, and it won't happen to that home. I don't get that. It doesn't make sense. I can't connect the dots. How does that happen? It took faith for them to follow this. It seems foolish if you do think about it from a scientific standpoint, right? Smear blood on something, don't die. I don't think I'm going to do that because it doesn't make sense. But that night, they had to make a decision. Do they believe what God said or not? You know, that's the choice that we all have. When God is speaking to our hearts, when we read His word, when He says certain things to us, He brings them up. He puts His finger on something. The rest of the world may say one thing, but God is speaking something else. The Lord will have us do things that are strange to the world. Strange to the world, like singing at church or not doing certain things that we used to have fun doing. I say, why are you doing that? There's nothing wrong with it. Lots of Christians do it, and it may be true, but for whatever reason, God has put His finger on that. The question is, will you believe me? Will you trust me? Will you know that I have a plan and a purpose for all this? If for no other reason to take you up that mountain, like Abraham, to say, sacrifice this because I want to know where your heart is, or I want you to know where your heart is. Why is it so hard to do certain things? God puts His finger on something, and you think it's simple. That's a simple thing. Why can't I do it then? It's simple, but I can't do it. I won't do it. Why is that? It's a good question, but one I can't answer, one that you have to answer by giving it up, by letting God challenge you in that area. I love it when God's challenging us. I hate it, and I love it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, I don't like the challenge. I like that you're challenging me, but I don't want to do that. And yet He's always doing it. But that night, they had to make a decision. Would they believe Him? That's the difference in a believer and an unbeliever, you know? They believe the Word of God. They take it seriously. They adjust their lives because of it. A believer. Unbelievers today consider it foolish or unscientific that the death of a man 2,000 years ago could actually save them from some judgment to come. What? Apply that blood? That makes no sense. I don't get it. There's no scientific evidence. But a Christian believes it. And so he, she, we apply the blood to our lives. We grow in Christ to become more like him. Godly fear has been referred to as the missing ingredient in the church today. It's one of the reasons there is no power in the church today. Though we have massive churches, there's no power in those churches. I mean, 12 men changed the world. We can't get a 12,000 church to change the world. Godly fear has been referred to as the missing ingredient. A healthy fear of what God has said, I want to respond. I want to do, and even if it doesn't make sense to me, I want to live the way God has asked me to live for whatever reason, whatever purposes. Years ago, the Gulf War produced a lot of churchgoers, but it didn't produce a lot of God-fearers. They went to church because they feared for themselves. What does this mean for me? What's going to happen to me? What's prophecy say? Let me go find out. It produced some churchgoers, churches swole in size, but it didn't produce God-fearers. We know that because as soon as the war was over, church attendance went back down. It was like people said, oh, whew, I can go back to living my life now. Things are normal again. Hey, some of us were brought to church because of fears. Children started to rebel. Oh, we need to go to church. They need the church. They need the Lord. No, what they need are parents who have the Lord, but God will use whatever he needs to get us in church. Something causes a fear. And sometimes, very often, people will then consider the Lord. But God doesn't want a bunch of people who every time they're afraid run to him. Hope things are okay. Good between us? Okay, good. I felt good in worship that day, so now I'm good for another year. Contrast the heart that just comes whenever they feel like things are going bad enough to go to church. And then when things are going okay, they just take off to this heart. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. An onward and upward work. Is that ever done? Never. Not until we're with him. Godly fear requires two ingredients. Believing in God first. You have to believe in him. And then knowing his word. Otherwise, you don't know how to fear. I love God, and he can crush me anytime he wants. But I don't know what that means. I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice person. And yeah, I take advantage of people and lie to them and stuff. But, you know, I'm doing it to protect myself. God surely understands that. Really? You don't know God. Because he sees that as someone who doesn't trust him. You're taking care of you and doing everything wrong in order to do it. And he says, do things right and trust me to take care of you instead. Is that what it says? Yeah, if you read your Bible, you would know that. So godly fear requires that we believe in him and that we know his word. The Israelites knew his word. Moses told them, get in the homes, spread the blood, eat the lamb, enjoy the lamb. Partake of the lamb. That was the word. Now they had to apply it. Would they believe? And they did. Faith causes us to seek the Lord because we know we need to. It causes us to know his word, and it causes us to respond. Those are the dynamics of faith in a life. It's been said, saying that you're a swordsman does not make you a swordsman. Saying you're a good swordsman does not make you a good swordsman. In the same way, saying you're a believer does not make you a believer. Saying you're a mature believer does not make you a mature believer. It's all in the activity. The proof, as they say, is in the pudding. Speaking of activity, look at verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So the last thing we'll talk about is faith calms others' fear. It influences others. It impacts others. Some have a hard time believing this portion of the scriptures, that the Red Sea parted. I just can't believe that. But let me tell you, I have no problem with it. Because if you do believe in God, and you do believe he's the one who created all things from nothing, which is a pretty significant task, then to create everything from nothing, what is it a big deal to part some little tiny waters that you created? I mean, I can do that. Give me a little time, and I can build a little dam in our bathtub and cause that to happen by my own might. I'm not God, but it's something I can kind of control. Now, if God can create from nothing and not even build, he didn't have to build it. He didn't have to turn on the bathtub and run it for a while, check the temperature, anything like that. He spoke it. It was perfect. And if he can do that, can't he say, part waters? And then after this group goes through, close up waters. Can he do that? Can he do those things? So it's not hard for me to believe. Of course, I've heard some try to explain this away by saying, okay, this was actually, if you look in the Greek and you do this, and there was a misspelling and a typo, and it's actually the Reed Sea, which is in the area. And the Reed Sea has a section there that's only 18 inches deep. And at 18 inches deep, certainly you can cross. Now, a couple problems. One, it says, as on dry land. 18 inches isn't dry land to me. But two, I think you have just as significant a miracle, because that would mean that the Egyptian army drowned in 18 inches of water that wasn't even parted. It was just sitting there like the first group travels and the rest is like, oh, like, that's a miracle, Lord. Kind of funny too. Kind of fun to watch. Oh, how the Lord, it would have been a totally different song rather than how you parted the seas. How they looked so weird when they were sitting there, their bald heads just kind of drowning in 18 inches of water. Lord, how funny you are. It would have been a totally different song. So you have a miracle either way. God does great things. You know, when we trust the Lord, then we see those amazing things. If we don't trust him, we don't need the amazing things. So many of us are grabbing this bull by the horns, which is good. You want to be proactive. You want to do. But we grab it so firmly that we control the whole bull. And we see no miracles, no great things. The only time we do see them is when God finally backs us into a corner where there's nothing we can do. But he doesn't want it to be that way, where the only time I see anything and only time God gets to move is he's backed us into a corner. Now, that's what happens here for Israel. They get backed into a corner. They panicked. There was nothing they could do. But God uses Moses to calm their fears.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
In Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, Moses says, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Moses said that. People who are confident in the Lord, they have a way of inspiring confidence in others. Confidence in the Lord. Put their mind back on the Lord. You're going to be able to do this. How do I know? Well, I had a friend who, or I went through this and God delivered and you can do this. Oh, that's right. It just seems so scary when I'm going through it. I don't see how he can do it. I know I didn't see either. And not that he will do yours the same way as mine, because he's very creative. He's very good. He has different purposes, but he can do it. And he did things in my life I could have never seen. And God is able to do those things. That's somebody who's got a fear of the Lord, who trusts the Lord. Because when you have faith, and when you walk by faith, and you live that way, you can inspire faith in others. On the other hand, Pessimistic people pass on pessimism. Sarcastic people pass on sarcasm. Complainers pass on complaining. What do you want to pass on? Because what you have, what you let out, is what you influence others with. But men and women of faith can instill confidence and inspire faith in others. When God's asking you to do certain things, instead of, I'm angry, don't pass on that kind of an attitude toward the things of God. Or, I'm so afraid. The Lord is saying do it, but I don't see it. You may feel that, but don't pass that on. Go to the Lord. Don't pass that on to everyone else, like some contagious disease. Go before your Father in heaven and get it situated first. Is it the Lord? Then have your confidence in Him. And though on the inside we fear, we do fear. Getting out of the military, I feared. I didn't know what to expect. But I didn't act like it on the outside. I agreed with some of the things people said. Some of my own family, that's foolish. God gave you a brain. You got to use it. You're halfway to retirement. Man, I know that. But my words weren't, oh, I know. I don't know what I'm going to do. Pray for me. I didn't say that. I thought it sometimes. But I said, God has said, and I believe it's Him, this is the direction I'm going. Notice Moses said, stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. What are we going to do? In situations that seem to be over our head where we really need to depend upon the Lord, let me tell you something. It is good to have people around who can inspire your confidence in the Lord. It is good to be around them. And even the most confident person in the Lord, when they are the ones in the midst of the trials, sometimes they or we also need to be around those who are confident in the Lord, because the storms in our life have a tendency of causing us to fail to see Him, because we hear the wind, we hear the waves. Like Peter, he got his eyes off Jesus, he got his eyes on to the things around him. And so we need to be around the people. We need to be around them, those who inspire a confidence in the Lord, not those who are complaining, fearful, immature, but those who have a confidence in the Lord. One of the worst things that you can do is isolate yourself, because the enemy is on sure course for destroying you. That's the tactic of any enemy. Divide, separate, make smaller, conquer, destroy. And we will destroy ourselves when we let ourselves be isolated from God's people, who will help inspire confidence and godly living, a trust in the Lord. How do you think they responded to that plan that Moses had at first? Stand still! No, that's what we're doing now. I want to take action. I want to do something. That's our nature though, right? Something's wrong, fix it, move now, get it done, get it over with, get back on a proper course right now. There is no waiting for the Lord. There is no stand and watch the deliverance of God. I've got something to fix. And so we move hastily to try to fix something. We don't even know what the solution is or if it's something that God wants fixed. He may want us to go through this. What's your reaction when things come up? Is it to just get things moving, get it fixed? Probably, if you're in the flesh, that's the way most of us think. And I'm sure that was the plan they would rather have. I want a solution. But the solution that Moses had was the right one, and it gave him a right perspective. It didn't change anything to their circumstances, only their perspective. Watch the Lord. Watch what the Lord can do. Okay. All right, I'm with you. His confidence in the Lord reminded them that they have hope. See, when the Egyptian army approached, Israel feared because they saw the potential of devastation more than they saw the potential of God to overcome it. But Moses got their eyes back on the Lord and His ability to overcome. What was it that gave Moses so much confidence? Well, one was insight. The other was hindsight. Hindsight was he was able to look back and see that God had called him at the burning bush. That was pretty miraculous. That God delivered them by the plagues. That was pretty amazing. God did all of that. And that God is leading them with this pillar now. Okay, this is pretty amazing. God's able to do this. Moses was prepared by God for this role to lead. He grew up in the home of Pharaoh. He could have even thought back to that. I'm even prepared to do this because God had me grow up in the home of Pharaoh, who trained me in governing and in skill and leadership. And think about it. Moses would write the first five books of the Bible. God would want it recorded. They're the first five books of Moses. Had he not grown up in the home of Pharaoh, but just gone out there making bricks, he wouldn't have learned writing, communication. God had prepared him. He knew he had a confidence in the Lord because of hindsight, but also because of insight. In the first few verses of chapter 14, God told Moses what he was going to do. I'll read it. Exodus 14, 1 through 4. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea, for Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. In other words, I'm going to set up a situation, impossible, so that when this happens, once and for all, the enemy, Pharaoh, and by the way, they would too, but everyone would know, I am God. I set it up. Moses had insight information because he was in close fellowship with the Lord. So he got inside information. If you live in close fellowship with the Lord, you'll be prepared. You'll have faith because you'll have that insight that you need. If you live distant from the Lord, you will have fear. It's the opposite of faith. Sometimes God will put you in difficult situations you have no control over because it's the way to teach you that he has resources that you have no idea about. Oh, he would do it if you would turn your life over to him every day. But for most of us, it's only when he backs us in the corner and we go, all I can do is trust the Lord now. And then he does something out of the blue, like, what, how'd that happen? Where'd that check come from? What happened there? They just dismissed my bill. What happened? Well, God showed up. We can stand and see the deliverance of the Lord. So, Moses gives us an example of faith that overcomes fear. Faith that overcomes unnecessary fear. When you know you're doing things God's way, you have no reason to fear. I got called with one of those scams, you know, they scam you and they try to call you and tell you the IRS is taking you to court and they're already on final phases of it and all this stuff. I had no fear because I have done nothing wrong. They play on your fear. They know that most people do some things wrong. And so all they got to do is say, we have found out. They found out. They don't have a clue, but you know. And so they know, you know, could it really have been that big a deal? Yes, and you're going to court. So they get some money out of people because of fear. I knew I don't have reason to fear. Plus, I look it up online. Remember, we go to God, but we also go to Google. And so I went to the Google and found this scam is very, very common. The IRS will never call you and tell you you're being sued. They will always send you letters first. So don't fall for that one. But I didn't have any fear because I knew God was with me. I was doing things right. Also, faith develops a godly fear because you know that if you don't trust him, there could be consequences. And faith calms others' fears because just as complaining and worrying can be caught, faith can be inspired. That's why I like to read some of the stories of missionaries. It makes you feel like, man, I'm complaining about these things. I'm arguing about these things. And look what they did. Look what they're doing. Faith inspires. I want to be someone whose faith inspires, not who's complaining, offends, and causes people to not want to be around me. Let's live lives of faith. Faith that overcomes fear.
There's so much more to learn from Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through Hebrews, but this is where we need to close for today. We hope you've been blessed and encouraged in your own walk of faith as you listen to Building on the Solid Rock today. If you have any prayer requests you'd like us to lift up to the Lord, we'd be honored to hear from you. Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about what you heard today. We'll do our best to answer. Being part of a church family is vital to your growth as a Christian. We'd like to encourage you to find and begin attending a local community of faith if you haven't already. If you're in the San Antonio area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? We meet every Sunday and Wednesday, and you'll find more information at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope you'll join us again right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
The light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.